Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Young Hefe, homes. So scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30. I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money. I'm getting money.
Welcome back to Don V Fridays. It is Cinco de Mayo. Today we're recording this. I'm not Hispanic. I don't really celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but salute to all our Latino brothers and sisters. Live it up. Live it up, my people. How you feeling today, Drew?
I'm doing great, man. It's my last week of school, and then I got like 2 weeks, and I start my new job in Detroit, so pretty excited about that. But we got a full slate of Virginia Tech and a couple other things to talk about, so it's gonna be a good podcast.
Gonna be a great podcast. New sponsors, Take Line, sports, culture, takes. Take Line has it all. Take Line is a weekly podcast hosted by Emmy winner.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Jason Concepcion and former WNBA champ Rene Montgomery. That's a fast-paced exploration of the NBA and world of sports and culture. Each week, Jason and Rene talk about the games, players, controversies, and issues that run both on and off the court. Follow now to hear Take Line every Tuesday wherever you get your pods. And then Locker Room, it's a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free. Download to use. You can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. It's like Clubhouse. This is getting bigger and bigger on the internet, where it's like Twitter Spaces. You know, people like to convene and talk sports and debate. Obviously, sports debate is what a lot of people do. So you can go to, you can download the Locker Room app for free at the iOS App Store. You can create a profile, link your Twitter. You can join leagues, groups, X, Y, and Z. Like I said, man, Locker Room app is on the iOS App Store. NFL Draft went down last week. Hokies were drafted. Big week for Virginia Tech as far as being in the spotlight per se. Before we talk about the Virginia Tech side of the draft, and this is a Virginia Tech related podcast, how did your team make out? Did you like the draft? Did you hate the draft? How'd you feel about your draft?
I love the draft. Bengals went Ja'Marr Chase at 5, and I think a lot of people outside of Cincinnati didn't like that pick. They thought it should have went to like Sewell or something like that. But reuniting Burrow with Chase, I think, was the right idea. And for the people that don't know much about like the Bengals offensive line, everybody thinks the Bengals offensive line is garbage, but they just signed a tackle in free agency, and their best player on the line is also a tackle, Jonah Williams. So like, if you're gonna draft Sewell at 5, he's gonna play guard at least for the first year. And I'm really not trying to draft a guard at 5 when you can take basically the best wide receiver that you're probably going to see in the next couple of years. So I like that a lot. But what did you think about, you know, the 49ers going Lance instead of, you know, Fields or Mac Jones?
I wanted Fields. I think I made that public. But as long as they didn't draft Mac Jones, man, I could live with it. I could convince myself to get in the Trey Lance. You don't get offered. You don't have a choice between a Ferrari and a Honda Civic. And you say, give me the Honda Civic because it's an automatic. I know how to drive that. I don't want to learn how to drive a stick so I can have a Ferrari. I'd rather just give me the Honda. Mac Jones is a Honda Civic. And yeah, a Honda Civic can get you to work every day. But that's all it can do. Man, we trying to be on some flash shit, man. They didn't fuck it up. And Cal Shanahan ain't a dumb fuck. So, good draft for me. And also, when we picked up Trey Sermon, the running back from Ohio State, and Aaron Banks, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame, that lets me know we still want to run the ball. We ain't trying to evolve and turn into Kansas City, no. We're going to stay running the ball, doing what we do. So, it's not an A-plus draft for me, but it's like a B-plus draft for me.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I liked your guys' draft a lot. Personally, I thought it was going to be Fields when, like, up until the draft started. I didn't see, like, why Fields would draft. I mean, fall in the draft. If you, like, just watched him play, I thought he was a better player over Lance. But I think Lance can still be good and can still – I think Lance can be a really good quarterback in the league. He's definitely way better than Mac Jones. But in terms of Sermon, I like that pick a lot, too, because I thought Sermon was a great running back even last year. I mean, he put up – what, over like 200 something? Was it 300 yards? Something like that against Northwestern.
It was definitely over 200.
Yeah. But he's
and
a good
back. Especially when we got running backs that's in and out the lineup every week. So we need somebody bring it home sometime.
Exactly. So I think he could be a good rotational running back. He could even be the main guy too in a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's move over to the Virginia Tech side. Obviously, Caleb Farley went. Well, I don't even want to say obviously Caleb Farley went first because he was falling down the boards because of his injury. But surprisingly, Caleb Farley was the first Hokie off the board. He went 22nd to the Titans. Do you think the Titans reached? Do you think Caleb fell exactly where he needed to fall? Do you think he's too low?
Yeah, no, I think around 20 is where you draft a cornerback like Farley because he has the upside to be better than any of the other cornerbacks that were drafted, but at the same time, he could be one of those players that has some issues and doesn't really get to play. I think his ability, though, and his upside is too high for you to pass on if you're like a team like the Titans, especially since they just let go of Dory Jackson. They needed a cornerback, so I think it was a good pick for them. I was happy to see Caleb Farley go in the first because I think his talent level is just too high to pass on. So, but that's just my opinion on it. What do you think?
Yeah, I was happy he got picked up in the first round just off the fact that they did the shit where he had COVID and he didn't have COVID. I know he had a stressful week, so I was more relieved. But I think he went exactly where he was supposed to go in the 20s. I think he was the third corner taken behind J.C. Horn and Pat Surtain. I think during the whole process, people thought that that's how that was going to shake out anyway. So Salute to Caleb Farley. I think the Titans got a starter for many years at the very worst. I think at the very worst he'll just be a starter there. And but he got the potential to be obviously a beast, so you know, I think they got him at the right place.
Yeah, and they're also, I mean, the Titans are a playoff team. They have a playoff roster and they can afford to take chances like that, you know, on a player like Caleb Farley. So I think for them it's the right pick. It's kind of like a luxury pick where if he's all right, whatever. But if he's really good, then that was a great pick. And you're looking back and you're like, wow, they made a fantastic pick.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the Titans, they needed a pass. Like, they lacked a pass rush last year more than anything. I think they could barely get
pass rushers too in the first round.
I still would have took one, but shout out to the Titans. Shout out to Caleb Farley. Right after that, the very next pick, Christian Darrisaw went to the Minnesota Vikings, the 23rd pick. You think that was a reach right where he was supposed to be, too low?
I think that was
perfect.
How you
feel about that?
Perfect by the Vikings, because Vikings were apparently that was their whole plan, was to get Darrisaw, and they traded back to 23 and picked up I think a third and maybe a fourth round pick as well, and then got the player they still wanted at, what is it, 14, where they started
20,
something like
20,
that.
23.
Yeah, and then so boom, moved back to 23 and grabbed Darrisaw. So I think that for them that was a great pick. I've seen a lot of people online saying that that was one of the best picks of the first round because they basically got like offensive tackle two, maybe three at 23. So good for them. I think he's going to be a really good pro as well. I think he's going to do a good job there.
Yeah, I think same thing. I think Darrisaw fell at the right place. He tackled with a second tackle, but he's going to Minnesota, but obviously with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that gets the ball out quick. He's not looking to hold on to the ball and take sacks and make people look bad. He's going to get the ball out quick. And I think Darrisaw, in a quick passing offense, he's going to hold it down. In the NFC North, I'm trying to think of the best pass rushers in the NFC North. He got to face the Packers. Oh, they got Za'Darius Smith. Oh, yeah, the Bears. Oh.
Yeah, but I think
he does got to face Khalil Mack.
I think Darrisaw is going to be playing. I think he's going to be playing left tackle.
Right tackle? Left tackle?
Tackle or left tackle?
He can play both. That's the crazy shit. Like, I think he can play both tackle positions.
I do too. I think if he's on the
right. They can move him wherever they need him, really.
Right. He's also, I think.
But he would have to face Khalil Mack at some point.
Right. He's definitely better against the run, too. And with Dalvin Cook, they're trying to move the ball. So.
Right. With Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. They definitely got a potent rush attack. And like I said, Kirk Cousins is like, he gets the ball out quick. So he ain't going to have to hold. Even if he is matched up against Khalil Mack, he don't got to do too much against Khalil Mack. You hold that motherfucker for 2 seconds because Kirk can get the ball off. Devin Diablo went in the third round, the 80th pick to the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you think that was a reach? Do you think he fell too low, or do you think that was right where he was supposed to go?
I think, once again, I think it was right where he was supposed to go. We talked about this a little bit before the Virginia Tech Pro Days, but we basically said, like, he's basically like a third to a fifth round player, and depending on how his Pro Day goes and what he runs could determine where he slots up. And I think with the numbers that he produced in terms of his 40, I think that led him up to exactly where he got picked, which was third round, 80th overall. And I think he gets a lot of playing time at the Raiders. I think he's going to be a great pro as well. So I think it was right where he was supposed to go.
I think they reached, but I don't think they reached too crazy. I'm not here to say Diablo was like a sixth round that they reached for. Maybe they could have got Diablo in the fourth. And then you're talking about Vegas. John Gruden and them have been drafting safeties for the last 3-4 drafts. Like, maybe they plan on playing Diablo as some nickel linebacker or something. Who knows? Who knows what the Raiders are doing? I think they reached. I think Diablo would have been there in the fourth. Diablo is a size be like, he looks the part, but I don't know. I've never been the biggest Divine Diablo fan at Tech, so you know, maybe people might look at this shit different, but I think if Diablo was like smaller, he wouldn't have got drafted. Just off film alone.
Exactly. Right? It's definitely his size. His size definitely plays a big part of his draft stock. So
But shout out to Diablo for getting the bag though. I don't want to make it seem like I'm hating him.
Right. I mean, out of all the teams that would reach for him, I think Raiders makes the most sense because Gruden likes his guys. Like, he'll draft a player a whole round ahead of maybe where they should supposed to go just because he likes the guy. And the Raiders did that in the first round with Leatherwood, who was supposed to go in the second. So,
right, John Gruden is. Shout out to John Gruden, man. We salute the finesses of all our lies and scammers. Shout out to John Gruden, man, stealing all that money. 10-year, $100 million contract. Shout out to you, my boy. Khalil Herbert goes in the sixth round, 217th pick, Chicago Bears. Do you think that was just right, too low? Do you think you can't reach for a motherfucker in the sixth round. Do you think he was just right or too low?
The thing is, I think he's a great running back. I think he could be a good pro, but running backs in the NFL are so, like, their value is terrible right now. I mean, even, you know, Trey Sermon's value was pretty low for being as good as he was. So I think I wasn't surprised when he went in the sixth round. I think he kind of slipped a little bit farther than people thought, but he could be the third back for the Bears, and they like to change up their backs a lot, so he could get some playing time. I hope he plays and does well. I think he makes the roster. So, but it kind of made sense that he went the sixth just because he's a running back.
Yeah, I thought he failed. I thought Herbert would go in the fifth round. So I think he went too low. But Herbert is, he's going to catch on to a team. It might not even be the Bears, and I think Herbert is going to have one or two decent seasons in the NFL before he either, you know, gets lost in some running back rotation somewhere or something like that. Because Herbert has like an Alfred Morris type skill set, and that's not any way disrespectful. Alfred Morris was a one-cut runner. Like, he one-cut, daylight. And sometimes he was fast enough to get away from everybody, and sometimes he wasn't. But like, one cut, they like, I think Khalil Herbert's ceiling, like, let's say Khalil Herbert hits his absolute peak. The peak one cut god was Frank Gore. I mean, with Emmitt Smith, but I ain't grew up with Emmitt Smith. I grew up with Frank Gore because I'm a 49er fan. If Herbert is, if he exceeds everything, the god one cut runner is Frank Gore. So, Herbert's going to get into somebody's system. It might not be with the Bears. It might be with his next team.
Right.
And he is going to, I think, in the right zone running, zone blocking scheme, with Herbert's vision and patience, he'll be the next one-cut guy. But his floor is Alfred Morris. And Alfred Morris had a couple good years in the league.
Yeah. I think he definitely has some good years in the league, don't get me wrong. I just think the reason that maybe he went to the six was just because of running back value and the way that teams see that. But no, I think you're totally right. He basically carried Virginia Tech last year, and I'm sure he's going to have some good years in the NFL as well, and I hope he does.
Yeah, man. And that and then that was it for the draft picks. Justice Reed signed on with the Seahawks. No, with the Titans. I don't think he's going to make the team. I hope he enjoys his summer vacation down there. Oh, Godspeed to you, Justice Reed. At least he can say he touched it for a little bit for the NFL. That's a dream to put on a fucking NFL helmet for a lot of people. A lot of people don't even get to put that helmet on, so he can at least say he touched it. Jerry Hewitt, Seahawks, you can at least say you touched it. That's it for the NFL Hokies. I don't think any of the undrafted people are going to see anything past a first or second preseason game. I don't even think Rashard Ashby got undrafted free agent offer. Have you heard anything about Rayshard Ashby since?
No, I haven't heard anything about him. Nothing. It's been super quiet. So I don't even think he's going to, he might not even get an offer.
He might not even get an offer. And it's sad because Rayshard Ashby 2 years ago was one of the best linebackers in the ACC. No cap. He was one of the best linebackers in the ACC. And last year, he was kind of, he was out of shape. He looked slow. He's not the tallest guy anyway. He's probably 5'9". You know, he's not the tallest player. And you combine that with being, like, overweight and kind of slow of foot. So what could you do with him? You can't put him in coverage. You can't really blitz him in the NFL. It wasn't really much they could do with him. I don't know. Shout out to Rayshard Ashby though. Shout out to him.
Yeah, it's tough as a linebacker to if you're not athletic and big in the NFL right now, it's hard. It's hard to get you on a team. Really hard. There was a guy from Florida who one of my friends is like best friends with. His name's David Reese. He played at Florida for I think he started 3 years. He might have started 4 years. He went to the NFL last year and went undrafted, signed with the Panthers, and now he's completely out of the NFL. And he was on like the All-American list for freshmen when he was a freshman at Florida. And it's just tough as a linebacker to make it in the NFL. So I don't know. It's going to be a real upward battle for Rayshard Ashby to make it.
Yeah, linebackers got it hard because, especially these days, because now you ask the linebackers, like, hey, that's Travis Kelce. Can you, like, cover him? Yeah, that's Derrick Henry. Can you, like, stop him? Like, not just tackle him. We need you to stop him.
Yeah.
You know, and now all the quarterbacks can run, too. So, oh, by the way, can you chase the quarterback around half the game and then have enough energy to cover Kelce in the fourth? Like, God bless the linebackers, bro. They got it rough.
Yeah, out here. If you're not like one of the top guys on the linebacking unit for a team, you're supposed to be special teams and you're supposed to be one of the best special teams players. So if
right.
you're not there either, then you're not really going to make the 53.
Right. Well, somebody who is going to make Virginia Tech's team, we got some news coming in today. Tyrell Smith will be coming back for his 7th season as a Virginia Tech Hokie. Obviously, he had injuries and redshirt and all kinds of things happening, and he is back.
It's been a long
This man
time.
Has played. This man has been at Tech. He's going into his 7th year at Tech. We are entering Justice Reed territory. No, we're at Justice Reed territory as far as just being an old head playing college football. Is this big news, no news, some kind of news? Where we at on the Tyrell Smith saga?
It's some kind of, I mean, it's something that, some sort of news, but I don't really think it does anything for the team. I mean, he was in the 2015 cycle. He was with like guys like Mook Reynolds and Javon Hill. I mean, some guys that have been gone for a long time. I don't really think he really does anything. Do you think he's even gonna like play this year or start?
He'll be in the rotation. He'll be in the rotation. They'll rotate him in. Starter, doubt it. I think it's just a depth move
because of his age.
I mean that's just what they do. Rotate right. people in. So I think that's the only reason.
Right. So I don't think he's really gonna play all that much.
Right. I mean, if anything, it says to the level of recruiting or lack thereof that they had to bring back Tyrell Smith for a 7th season just for depth. That, I mean, you can't just lose 3 starters on your offensive line and 2 of them to transfer. And one obviously, Darisaw to the NFL draft, but you can't just lose 2 4-star starters on your O-line and not have the proper depth to, you know, replace and back up what you're replacing them with. So,
right.
Yeah, they had to go back to the Tyrell Smith fountain.
His
Like I said, I don't think it's news. I just think it speaks to the level of recruit, especially so many offensive linemen in the portal. They go get the Johnny Jordan, the kid from Maryland, who looks like a fan. He's starting this year. So
you think the offensive line is going to be a big problem this year? Like, it's going to take a big step back?
I think so. I mean, you can't lose what we lost. I think they're moving Brock Hoffman to what, right guard? Because the Johnny kid is playing center. The Johnny kid is going to start center or whatever. They're moving Hoffman to like right guard. So I definitely believe that the offensive line is going to take a step back from last year, without a doubt.
Yeah. I pulled up Tyrell Smith's like bio on Virginia Tech, like their website, and it says for 2020, played in 10 of Tech's contests, .. was utilized mostly on the punting unit.
And well, the punting unit just gained another gym. Shout out to Tyrell Smith, man. Me and Tyrell Smith the same age. So we're not the same age, by the way. I'm old as shit. But Tyrell Smith is also old as hell. He's going to be the only dude out here. He's going to be complaining about knee problems, but not just from injuries. He's just old as shit. My boy, Tyrell Smith, you should be working a job right now, my boy. That shit is over with. You know, sometimes you got to give up them dreams, man. You know, people are supposed to say you're supposed to support people in their dreams. Fuck your dreams, dog. You a grown ass man. You not 19, bro. You not even 21, bro. You old as hell. UPS is hiring, my boy. The fuck is you doing? Motherfuckers out here, man. Grown ass man. All out here. You better go drive fucking DoorDash or something, my boy. Fuck wrong with you. What else is going on in the news? Devin Hunter released a statement.
He's accepting a plea. So
he's accepting a plea.
That's shout good out Devin news. Hunter. I hope he turns his life around and plays football again. I hope he's with Virginia Tech, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. But I hope for the best for him.
Yeah, the Devin Hunter situation. He seems to be taking some accountability in the situation that went down. I still don't know what exactly happened. I remember it was alleged that he choked the woman or choked somebody in his family or something. I still don't know, but he obviously taking a plea deal is acknowledging he did something wrong.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think court date was scheduled for like August or something like that, but I think they said something about like next week there's gonna be more information that comes out about it.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Devin Hunter situation, so I mean hopefully he uses all this, learns from it, and can continue playing football, which more than likely he'll end up at Marshall, because Marshall's history. They love, if you fuck up at Virginia Tech, there's always a spot for you at Marshall. So, shout out to Marshall for taking Virginia Tech fuck ups. shout out to Tron Martinez. He played at Marshall. He was from Virginia, and he's from my hometown. He was a great running back. He played for Hampton High School, and he was cool with some dudes that was active in the streets, and a RICO case came down on them dudes, and Tron Martinez was in that RICO case. He did have to give information up. I'm not down in Tron Martinez. He was an athlete. He was not active in them streets like that. He was an athlete mixed up with the wrong crowd, and it was his future on the line. The people he was running with didn't have no future. He did. And he had to give up some information. I ain't going to get into the extent of the information he gave up. But he did have to give up some information. But with that, he was able to continue his life. He ended up playing at Marshall. So shout out to the Marshall Thunder and Herd, man. Taking chances on Virginia fuck-ups. When Virginia turns their nose up at these kids, Marshall always got a space for them. Like CJ Revis or Devontae Beckett or whoever. You fuck up in Virginia, it's a spot for you at Marshall. So. Salute to them.
Do you think Virginia Tech kind of did Devin Hunter wrong? Do you think the coaching staff used him in the wrong way?
In a football sense?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say no because they tried him at many different positions. He was in a linebacker type whip. He was the whip. I'd have seen him try to rush the passer. They put him behind Reggie. Wait, they were going to put him behind Reggie Floyd. Eventually, get to a point where like, what can you do? I think it wasn't the physical aspect because he was like the Diablo almost, size, speed. When you see him, you like, Jesus Christ, that's a football player. But it was I guess the mental parts. When they put him in the whip, he definitely, you could see him out there thinking too much. So
right,
maybe the next coach puts him out there and they just like, yo, fuck it, just be Michael Parsons and just whoever got the ball, just kill a ass. Maybe he can excel in that type of role, but because thinking the game obviously was fucking him up.
Do you think they ever should have tried to use him at running back or on the offense somewhere?
I remember that was a that was definitely starting to go around, but I don't know. I honestly don't have an answer to that question.
Right. So do you think he's probably just going to end up at Marshall or some other school?
He's definitely going to Marshall. He's Marshall. He's going to Marshall. I'm not. I haven't spoken to him, but we're gonna go off history and how things normally work. He'll be at Marshall.
Right.
100%.
Well, best of luck to him because I hope his career turns around and he does well and hopefully maybe makes it to the NFL. That'd be cool to see.
Right. He'll definitely get an NFL look. Now it's gonna be late round, and he has character red flags. I mean, I don't want to make it seem like he made a mistake because when you choke a motherfucker, I ain't never choked somebody on accident. So he definitely has some anger shit or some shit he need to, some behavioral issues that need to get sorted out. Hopefully he has been sorting those out while he has not been playing. But he'll still get an NFL look because I mean, like, the man looked like a brick shit house,
He's big as
fuck. He looked like he should be playing football for somebody. I don't know what he's been doing in jail, but motherfuckers like him, Diesel going to jail. They come out of jail even more Diesel, like too strong.
Right.
Maybe he need to lose some of that jail muscle, and get more fluid because that was the problem when he was a football player. Like, motherfucker was Diesel, but he wasn't fluid. So
yeah, it was hard for him to change directions. I remember at safety,
maybe he need to get some more fluidity. I don't want to hear enough shit about he was fucking with the boys up in there because they ain't help you. They ain't help you loosen your hips up in jail. What I'm saying? They help you with your hip fluidity up in the booty house. We all know. Shout out to people in jail, man. Like, they be making jail look so fun on Twitter and Instagram. I be wanting to go sometime. I ain't even gonna hold you. I think I'd do all right in jail. But what else going on? There was a DBU debate on the timeline.
Yeah, that was interesting. So first off, what are your opinions on Virginia Tech being DBU when they were DBU, where they are now? What do you think about this as a whole?
I think at one point, I think Virginia Tech had a real live. I think Virginia Tech had a real live argument. There was an argument that could be made. That time has came and gone. Clearly, they've been surpassed by the likes of LSU, Ohio State, Florida, Alabama. But that said, Virginia Tech does still put defensive backs in the NFL. We had two drafted last week. Both was receivers when they came. It's a good story. I think personally it's dead. We look kind of crazy still clinging on to it, but what's your take?
I don't think it's a, like, it's not something that you can recruit off of. It's not like something that Virginia Tech can like hang its hat on either. Like, they used to be able to. I don't think they can anymore, and I think the fan base is still latching onto it because it was like one of the things that made Virginia Tech, but I don't think we're there anymore. And like you said, Ohio State, LSU, Florida, even teams like Washington have been putting out some really good DB recently. So I don't think we're there yet. I think, you know, we do put in some guys, and we do develop some three-star guys that get drafted and play pretty well in the NFL. So there's that, but we're not defensive back university.
Yeah, when they come to, and especially when they come down to DBU, and it comes down to recruiting. Recruits don't want to hear. I mean, they do want to hear it, but you got to think every three-star and above is they want to go to the NFL. Let's be real. These motherfuckers don't want to be scientists. They don't want to be doctors. They don't want to be janitors. They want to be in the NFL. So when they go on visits, they don't want to hear, we can get you in the fifth round. We can get you in the sixth round. They want to hear that they want to go. They going in the first round. They want to hear that shit. And they want to see people going in the first round every year. Now, lucky for us, Caleb Farley did go first round. Despite him falling, he almost, you know, there's a lot of shit going on. He could have went second. But we have gaps in our first round. Like, okay, so before Caleb Farley, the last first round DB we had was Terrell Edmonds. Even Hokie fans didn't think he should have been went first round. Like, if we are being real, we were surprised.
He was also like one of the last in the first round too. It wasn't like he was a top 10 pick or anything.
Yeah, but it's still first.
Right.
It's still first. And before Terrell Edmonds, it was the Fuller, Kyle Fuller, not Kendall. Kendall would have been a first round, but we know his injuries and shit. But Kyle Fuller was a first round pick. But like I say, it's gaps. So you go from 2014 to 2018 to 2021. Meanwhile, Ohio State's probably had a first round since 2014 and every year. They probably had a couple first round DBs and second round DBs. And I know Alabama had a – go ahead.
I think this is the first year that Ohio State didn't have a first round DB in the past like 5 or 6 years.
And that's because Sean Wade decided to fucking come back to school. If Sean Wade would have stayed opted out, he would have went first round.
Mm-hmm.
That was real. Who advised him? The fuck? Fire him.
Yeah, he was getting burnt Jesus. Apart.
Jesus. Jesus. Shout out to Sean Wade, your burnt ass. But yeah, the Bama's, the Ohio State, they've been putting these first round people in every year. You can't compete with that. You can't compete. Like, getting dudes drafted is cool, but to get better recruits, you got to keep doing it. You got to keep. We're not DBU, man. I don't mean to be the people. I don't want to be the guy to break people's heart and tell y'all Santa Claus ain't real. But we're not DBU, folks. It's definitely Ohio State or Bama or LSU. Pull the. Because not only does Ohio State and Bama and them get you in the first or second round. They do that third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round shit too. It ain't like, okay, we got a monopoly on the late round shit though. No, they do that too. And the first round stuff. So it's not us.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree. I just don't think we're there anymore.
Right. And coming down the pipeline, I think Jermaine Waller will get drafted. I can confidently say Jermaine Waller will get drafted, but after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that Dorian Strong shit, I don't know. He looked good last year, but I don't know. So,
right. We haven't even seen Harvey play yet, so.
Yeah. Shout out to DJ Harvey, man. Shout out to DJ Harvey, man. Coming all the way from California, all the way out to Blacksburg, Virginia. Maybe, but he hasn't taken a snap yet. So right. We don't know. But let's move on. We got Bet Online this week.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It has tons of sports action as the MLB, NBA, and the NHL are in full swing. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. But for the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the greatest sports news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And we got a new sponsor, Kansas City Stakes. This is going to be very... This is going to be a very, very, very interesting ad. This is an inside joke, some TP2 stuff. We talk about stakes a lot. You work hard, you play hard. So treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts to USDA prime to American style Kobe, hard to find specialty cuts and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire the grill. They make it so easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City strips, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your house this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD, KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. Are you a steak man?
Kind of. I mean, I personally can't really cook steaks for shit, but if I'm out at like a steakhouse or somewhere that has good steaks, I'll order one. But they're expensive, and I'm a college student, so I can't really afford that shit most of the time. But what about you? You like steaks a lot or what?
I like steak. But I am a man of Christ, and don't bring me no uncooked food. I'll go out there. You motherfuckers out here that's eating rare steak. I ain't talking about the medium rare. Now, fuck that. I'm talking about them, too. If you out here eating uncooked steak, you are a savage, my boy. You need to find your way to Christ like the rest of us. See, I'm a child of Christ, man. We eat our food cooked. It says it in the Bible. I eat my shit medium well. They ain't got to burn my shit. Medium well. My food, man. My grandma would fuck me up if she found out I was out here eating uncooked steaks where the shit is all red and shit. Listen, man. I want what's best for the people. Find your way to Christ. Find y'all way to Christ, man. To the people that's eating well done, y'all kind of crazy, but see, I understand that. But to the people that's eating rare, find y'all ways to Christ, man. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. Get 10% off your order and free shipping. Lots of drama in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers in the Packers got beef. Whose side are you on?
Rodgers, I'd say. And only because I feel like quarterbacks nowadays have a big say in like what the team does. The elite ones do. Like, you know, I feel like Mahomes is in with the GM office, and they talk about what Mahomes wants and what the GM wants. They collaborate. I don't think the organization takes into account what Rodgers wants And the reason I say that is if you look at the recent draft picks, it does not reflect that at all. I mean, they took Jordan Love last year in the first round, and they just haven't been giving him the weapons to succeed. So I think it makes sense for him to try and get out. And so I think they should trade him and get him out of there.
I don't want to say I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side, but I'm on his side, but I'm not on his side. I'm kind of on the Packers' side too, because I'm a big component of you can't trust people, but you always got to trust people to do what they do. And the Packers ain't doing no new shit. They ain't doing nothing new. This ain't new behavior. Aaron Rodgers replaced somebody, so he should know how the game go.
Right.
He shouldn't be surprised that they're trying to actively replace him. Should they have let him in on some of the personnel decisions? They feel like no. They feel like whatever our decisions, we've been a winning organization. The Packers got more history than damn near every team in the NFL. So I think the Packers feel like from generation to generation, this is just how we do it. And I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers is the latest casualty. When you realize, listen, it's a hard pill to swallow when you wake up and you realize this game is gonna move on without your ass, and they gonna keep on keeping on, the Packers we talking about. But I do feel for Aaron Rodgers because it's like, damn, they did let go some receiver that he liked that had like 20 career catches or some dumb shit. If that's Aaron Rodgers, man, let him keep his mans. Like some of the shit the Packers was doing was just disrespectful. Like when they fired Aaron Rodgers QB coach, why the fuck would you fire Aaron Rodgers QB coach? What the fuck? If that's Aaron Rodgers' friend and he the QB coach, keep him on the staff, because what the fuck is he teaching Aaron Rodgers in between snaps? I mean, in between drafts that Aaron Rodgers don't know.
What's
Is
another
he
coach?
telling Aaron Rodgers like, oh, well, your footwork was kind of like, man, your bitch ass. Like, listen, collect your check, shut the fuck up, be my friend. So fire the QB coach, because a QB coach can't help Aaron Rodgers. A QB coach probably there to help the backup, but keep Aaron Rodgers' friends around. Like, stop, don't be dickheads about it. Like, that's how I feel. But as far as the Packers organization, they're not doing no new shit, no new behavior. It ain't surprised. It shouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way, but at the same time, I think they should, change with the times.
I mean, yeah, but they went to the NFC Championship just last year, doing what they do.
Right. But I mean, you could argue that they definitely should have won that game, and maybe if they had more weapons or had drafted better, maybe they win that game, they win the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what Aaron Rodgers thinks too. Maybe the reason that he's so pissed off is in his world, he believes, hey, if we had another guy outside of Davante Adams, we're in the Super Bowl and we win that game. And that's why he thinks, I gotta go somewhere else.
It's possible. But he did have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl last year. And me personally, I felt like he didn't play shitty. The thing about Aaron Rodgers is he like Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers are real slick in a way, because they can smell a L from like the third drive of the game. Both of them. They're both real smart. They know when the L coming. So they the type of motherfuckers that be like, okay, well, listen, let me rack up the completion. They don't mean shit. I'm gonna get 40 completions that mean nothing in a loss. So when it's time to start giving out punishment, okay, your numbers look good enough. What the rest of you motherfuckers, what the rest of y'all do? And then you blame Kevin King, and you blame this person, and you blame that person, because at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning are always going to have 50 completions out of 51 attempts for 20 yards and no picks. They're going to always do that in a loss. In a loss, not in a win. They'll just gobble up the completions. All right, I'm gonna just dump this shit down. Y'all the motherfucker. We gonna lose and ain't gonna be my fault. I'm gonna dump this shit down. I'm gonna do 30 fucking completions and get the blame off me. I think people overblow how well Aaron Rodgers played in that game. When it come to having that dog, Aaron Rodgers didn't have his shit. That's why they lost. It ain't had nothing to do with no Kevin King. Kevin King ain't losing that game. Aaron Rodgers lost that game. But you know, you can't tell these motherfuckers nothing, man.
So what do you think? How do you think the situation ends? Do you think it's gonna end with the Packers refusing to trade him and he just enters retirement, or do you think they actually
Going,
trade him?
Aaron Rodgers will be in a Green Bay Packer uniform whenever they season start. Because what's Aaron Rodgers' options? Option A, he got to retire and give back how many million? 20-something million? He ain't doing that. Option number two, he goes to Green Bay and acts like James Harden. That NBA shit don't work in the NFL. He would take Aaron Rodgers would take the biggest L of his life if he would a legendary Green Bay Packer quarterback goes to training camp and acts like a dickhead. He would lose the fans. At the end of the day, the fans that love Aaron Rodgers, but they Green Bay Packer fans. They was fans of the Packers before Aaron Rodgers was thought of. They're gonna side with the team come summertime because they're gonna say, "Look, man, I know you mad as shit, but you here now. So what the you got? What the fuck? You can't force your way out. The NFL is different. The only person I seen force their way off an NFL team was Carson Palmer for the Bengals. He forced his way out of the Bengals. And the only reason why he was able to get off the Bengals is because the fucking Oakland Raiders gave up like two or three first round picks for him. Aaron Rodgers is going to command 50 first round picks and that contract. Nobody's doing that. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Packer next year. 100%. Write this shit down. Screen capture this. Aaron Rodgers will be a Packer in 2021.
Do you think if he so okay, so he stays on the Packers, they don't trade him. Do you think at that point he submits to the Packers and plays, or do you think he just goes the route of like acting? Because I've heard a lot of people say that, yeah, he could lose that 20 million, but his acting career, he could actually make way more than that 20 million. Do you think he just leaves, or do you think he actually stays and plays?
Aaron Rodgers plays football because he wants to be the GOAT. I don't think it's about money. I know I just said he'd just give up 20 million to retire, but the thing is, he's not going to retire. He wants to be mentioned up there with Tom Brady. No, it's only Tom Brady. The motherfuckers, no. He wants to be up there with Tom Brady. He plays for legacy at this point. So his whole thing is, he's not, he's at the end of the day, he's going to play ball. They're going to have a meeting, him and the Packers, and everybody going to apologize. He going to apologize. They going to apologize. They going to say, "Sorry, we shouldn't have fired your friends. We shouldn't have cut your fucking wide receiver friend. We had like 20 catches. And next draft, we'll draft 60 receivers." And he going to apologize too. And they going to move on, keep it pushing, and they going to continue to lose in the playoffs together like the Packers always do.
Well, I thought it was interesting that the news about it came out on the day of the draft, and I was thinking maybe it was
That was
Rodgers
convenient.
like telling them like, "Hey, it's draft day. I wouldn't be
Hell yeah.
happy if you didn't draft my guys."
Right.
And
Oh no, shout out to Aaron Rodgers is a cold, calculated motherfucker. Shout out to Aaron Rodgers for being cold, calculated, petty, all of that. To have this come out on draft day. He showed up at the Kentucky Derby looking like a fucking villain out of an anime. Acting like he didn't know. I don't know how this shit got out. You know how it got out, bro. But that's Aaron Rodgers, man. Cold, calculated. He's a villain. He knows how to be the villain.
And they did end up taking a wide receiver. They took one in the third round, Amari Rodgers from Clemson.
Right.
So.
But the thing about Aaron Rodgers and I hear the fans. I hear the fans when they say they need to get Aaron Rodgers receivers. But the thing about Aaron Rodgers is, if he don't know you or if he don't like you, he's not throwing you the ball. So everybody, oh, he didn't just get him receivers. Why? So he could just not throw to him, and y'all got motherfuckers to blame?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not throwing to the. I will bet my life Amari Rodgers has less than 50 catches this year.
Amari Rodgers?
I'm almost willing to say he'll go less than 40. But they do throw a lot. He might get 40 catches. This is a 17 game season, mind y'all. Amari Rodgers won't sniff 50 catches. People talk about, oh, he needs receivers. He don't need no fucking receivers. He always got receivers. The media tricks people into thinking that the Packers never got receivers, and they do. Davante Adams, one of the best receivers in the NFL. Valdez Scantling, one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. They be having receivers. Randall Cobb could play. He was the best slot receiver, one of the best slot receivers. Jordy Nelson was a monster when they had Jordy Nelson. What do you mean? He got no receivers. They keep him from receivers.
Mm-hmm. They also have.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a 49er fan, and maybe some of my 49ers, but I know Aaron Rodgers got the talent, but he don't be having that dog all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd be thinking he having enough. Aaron Jones is a good running back. He be having backs. He have a line. When's you seen Aaron Rodgers running for his life?
No, he's always got like fucking 5 seconds in the pocket.
Great protection. And he not to get the ball out quick. He can't get the ball out quick, but he's the person that's looking to do other shit outside of the play. You don't be seeing Aaron Rodgers getting killed out there.
So I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the whole situation.
If
I were to bet, I don't think personally you say he's gonna play for the Packers next year. I don't know if we're gonna see him take a snap for the Packers.
He's playing for the Packers. If if he had 1 year left on his contract, I'd entertain him trying to go somewhere else. But he ain't got no options. This is the NFL. I know the NFL. It's now starting to do the player empowerment, and the players are starting to be like, we got value, and we got this. Man, Deshaun Watson said he wanted to leave, and 75 masseuses came out like, he raped me. I'm telling you, dog, like, the NFL is different. Mm-hmm. These owners is not about to stand for this shit.
No, it is
They
true.
Are not about to stand for this player empowerment shit. Not when you got 3 and 4 years on your contract. They're not going.
It is true. When's the last time, a player demanded a trade that had a large contract that actually got traded? Because I can't really think of
like
it.
Like I said, Carson Palmer is the only person I've seen shoot his way out of a franchise. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was either a bum or a distraction, and Aaron Rodgers got too much positive clout to become a goofy just to get traded. If he's willing to take it there, I doubt it. But if he's willing to take it there, like I said, he loses fan support. But that's the only way I can see it. And he would have to act like he would have to be a complete dickhead during training camp. I mean, like, remember when Andrew Bynum, I think he played for the Lakers, and they said in practice he was on some dickhead shit. Like, every time he touched the ball, he shot it, no matter where he got it, whether it was half court, full court, like, just to be a dickhead, he did that. Like, he would, so Aaron Rodgers would have to, they would have to snap him the ball, and he would have to just throw it. No matter the play ain't set up yet, nothing. He would have to be on some Andrew Bynum level dickhead. He would have to achieve that to get traded.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't really get traded for as much as he would because his trade value would right. drop. But yeah, I think.
Yeah, he would look like the ultimate bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think. He'll Aaron Rodgers will be playing for the Packers in 2021. You can bookmark that.
All right. Well,
what else we got going on in the world?
We got Floyd versus Logan Paul. And, that's going to be going on in Miami on Sunday, June 6th. It's in Hard Rock Stadium. Do you watch a lot of boxing?
I do. I'm a huge boxing fan. I'm 34, so I grew up watching boxing. I'm a lot older than people think. People think I'm a young nigga. No, I'm in my 30s. I watch a lot of boxing. I'm a boxing fan. I'm not like a, I don't want to say diehard boxing fan, but I'm a boxing fan. I watch boxing very often.
And well, the thing is, like my dad like never watched boxing, and so I would kind of watch it here and there. I watched the big, like the real big fights. But what do you think about Floyd taking this fight versus Logan Paul? Like if he loses this fight, does this ruin his career?
Well, he's not gonna lose. It's this is I don't like that Floyd Mayweather is boxing a YouTuber. For the mere fact of it's Floyd Mayweather, like he's considered the GOAT. So he's Floyd Mayweather's not a knockout artist. He's not gonna look to knock anybody out. I'm about to give y'all the okie doke because it's gonna happen, and then when it happens, everybody's gonna be surprised. Floyd Mayweather is gonna set this shit up where they can have two fights, maybe even three fights. Floyd Mayweather is gonna let this motherfucker fight as aggressively as possible for four rounds, and then this kid is never gonna touch Floyd Mayweather for the rest of the fight, and he's gonna make it just arguable enough. Jake Paul, Logan Paul, one of these kids, I don't know, have big YouTube fan base, big ass fan base. Just enough motherfuckers that's crazy enough to want to battle shit twice. Floyd Mayweather's making $100 million for this fight. You better believe he's gonna want to do it again to against a person that can't hurt him, a person that can't hit you. Man, listen. Floyd Mayweather is setting motherfuckers up for the okie doke. Their first fight gonna go like this. He gonna let that motherfucker swing his heart away. And he might even hit Floyd a couple times. And for the rest of the fight, it's gonna be a boxing lesson. He's not gonna beat the shit out of the kid. He's just gonna box with him. And the fight gonna end, Floyd gonna win, and the internet gonna go crazy. The internet gonna burn down. How the fuck? Well, it's even crazy that the YouTuber even won some rounds off Floyd. I'd have seen this shit for years now. And they're going to set it up and do it again. And that's when Floyd going to clean up. Like, let me go ahead and embarrass this kid. Floyd is setting y'all motherfuckers up. Do not buy that bullshit pay-per-view.
You're
Please.
not, you don't think you're gonna watch it?
I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to pay for
Get it offline or somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Pirates. Doing it for the culture.
Yeah. That's how I usually do those fights. I don't think I've ever bought an actual fight. Other than
I've bought fights.
me and my
I've
friend
definitely
did
bought fights.
for the Pacquiao one. But I think that was the last one I bought.
Yeah, I will definitely not back. Listen, you making a mockery of the whole situation. Have you ever seen Michael Jordan play one-on-one with who was a hot celebrity from the 90s? I'm trying to think of a hot celebrity. DMX or some fucking body, and it's a good, like, all right, we're gonna play one-on-one. And no, because it don't make fucking sense. Because we know you're gonna win. So, I've been seeing that, like, what if Floyd gets knocked out? Floyd's not gonna get locked out. This person is a YouTuber. That up on Nate Robinson, I don't, because they both be fighting. So, beating up on these random people. It's different than fighting somebody. Floyd Mayweather has been fighting his whole life. His entire life. You cannot do some shit for a year and a half and then compete with somebody that's dedicated their life to it.
Right.
Boxing is a science. And when you got Floyd probably started boxing when he was fucking 5 years old. This kid from YouTube been boxing for what, a year and a half?
Yeah, I mean Floyd's
The
44,
experience don't
Logan
add up.
Paul's 26.
Right. And that would mean something if that kid is a boxer. It don't mean it. They're here to steal your money, people. Let's cut the bullshit. They're here to steal your money. Don't give it to them. Pirate this shit. Be smart. What else is going on? Or was that pretty much it?
Think that's it. I think that's all we got, unless you got anything else.
That's it for Don V Fridays, everybody. Thanks for rocking out with the best Virginia Tech podcast in all the lands.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the listeners. Shout out to all our supporters. Shout out to everybody, man. Got love for everybody. Anything last you got to say for the people?
Yeah, I just want to say shout out Ike. I hope you listen to this podcast. I told you that Caleb Farley was going to get drafted before Greg Newsom.
Ike lied.
Ike lied.
Ike lied. Ike, we got to get Ike on Don V Fridays with his lying ass. So, shout out to Ike, man. Ike, one of the few UVA fans I fuck with, though.
Hell yeah.
But that's it, man. Till next time, man. God bless.